Here's what you have to see. You have to see your Bible not as an obligation, but as an opportunity for transformation. You can't see it as an obligation, something that, oh, I have to do it. You have to see it as an opportunity for transformation. You have to. You see what happens here? Any church, ministry, or person that closes their Bible is closing the opportunity for transformation that the Holy Spirit seeks to do within their lives.
Hi, and welcome back to Live in the Light. Live in the Light exists to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We love that truth. We love that mission statement because that's really what we're all about. Verse by verse through God's word and seeing God himself change people's lives. You know, Robbie, we mentioned people in there, and it's a good time at the beginning of the year to thank our people and really even speak to them, right?
Yeah, it really is, Craig, because we're just a ministry just getting started and we're seeking the Lord's will in this and really looking for him like to lead us and guide us. We really mean that too, but we just want to reach out to like the listeners who've been faithfully letting us know, tuning in, and the encouragement we've received these past couple of months, the financial support as well, the things that are happening. I just want to really speak to you today and encourage you. If you find that you're partnering kind of in spirit with Live in the Light and you are excited what God is doing, well, we need the Lord to raise up certain people to come partners with us. We have opportunities within our ministry for as simple or little as $25 a month. You could commit to being a partner with us to see this ministry get on this station and be used for the gospel to go forward. Many of you we know have been blessed and you're thankful for that. And if that's the case, how great would it be if you were able to be led by the Lord to contribute and to care and say, yeah, I'm behind this because we want to see this go forward. If it does, then again, certain people have to raise up to be a part of that. And that's a great thing, to partner with each other for the things that matter most in a world, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we got information online, I know, Craig, about this as well.
Yeah, we do. If you're feeling stirred even as you listen to Pastor Robbie speaking about this, then please make sure you visit our website at liveinthelight.ca. That's liveinthelight.ca. Or you can phone us up at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-22-LIGHT.
This is why it's absolutely fundamental. Am I making my point? Is it getting across? See, but you'll know if it's really getting across when you do something about it, when you act upon it, when this becomes not just a habit you do, but a necessary part of feeding your soul and your mind and your heart every single day. The mind informs our affections. The mind trains our wills to choose what is right. And that is why the foremost battle for our heart is most often fought in the territory of our minds. And that's precisely why then I use this image that when I renew my mind, I say this, I am flushing the toilet of my mind. I'm sorry for the unpleasant image. And if it wasn't unpleasant, it is now. All right? But that works for me because the reality is if you're not renewing your mind in the things of God, you are renewing your mind. You are filling your mind with garbage. Can I say it more clearly? With dung. Can I say it more clearly? No. That is your reality. You have to see it for what it is. You're not playing a game. It's not something we're just going on, who cares? It's okay. It's either God or it's not God. And if it's not God, it's not good. And it's not good, it is. It's trash. That's why, man, when you wake up and you say, I'm going to cleanse my mind of what is wrong and disgusting, and I'm going to fill and renew my mind with what is right and pure and lovely and noble and admirable. Philippians 4, I believe. Think on these things, it says. If you're not feeding your mind with God's word, you're feeding your mind with trash. Don't you see that this is the fundamental principle for transformation? It's the fundamental principle for transformation. See, love, and this is why counseling, apart from God's word, it's not counseling. It's not God's counseling. This is why then each morning I wake up convinced of the truth. My mind heightens my affections. My mind renewed heightens my affections. It directs my will. It's so exciting when you see that I fundamentally understand I will not see transformation apart from the word of God by the Spirit of God. And wouldn't you know it, this week it happened again. It happened again. This week in some pretty amazing ways for me. I had people speak truth over my life. I had songs sung that cleansed my mind in God's truth. I had the word of God opened in front of me. And God has been renewing me to a place of truth and understanding how much he wants to do. It's very exciting. It's so thrilling. I don't know about you, man, for me, but it's been 7 weeks now that I've been through a very, I'm going to call it a tough season. I can't see from the outside. It's happening on the inside. A tough season, a dry season, a confusing season. It's been no feelings. It's been faith. And times I've been in great agony and anguish. Maybe you're in a similar place. For me, it's been a very, very tough one, pleading with God. God, what's happening? What's going on? Why am I feeling this? Why? I don't understand. I cannot see clearly. God, what are you doing? And at times feeling tremendous despair and the desire to give up. But the Lord says, and see, this is where when your mind is renewed and you start to see what is true again, and he never, ever lets you go. And he sends his love into your life and he lets you struggle for his purposes that are beyond us. He lets you suffer. He lets you agonize because your character is being refined and your path from him is deepening. And so many other things are occurring that you don't even understand. And you trust him. Then you get there. And you see truth and you read truth and you know truth. And when your mind is renewed in that moment, what happens, man? It is an unbelievably satisfying, crazy, God glorifying, so humble, so broken. Praise you, Jesus. You are awesome because the truth has entered. The affections are stirred and the will then is spurred on to continue following the God who saved you and loves you. This is the power of the renewal of your mind. Some of you are saying, man, where do I start? Here's where you start. Four things. Here's your plan for the renewal of your mind. I want to be as specific as I possibly can right now. Number one, get a plan. Get a plan for the renewal of your mind. Specifically, get a Bible reading plan. Find a plan, stick to it. Dedicate yourself in discipline. Get a plan for reading God's word. My plan is 4 chapters a day. You know, hey, have you learned this yet? So 4 chapters a day. Some days I don't get to all 4. Okay, here's what you got to know, man. If you wake up one morning and you did not do your 4 chapters the previous day, God is not sitting there going, Robbie, can't believe you didn't do your 4 chapters. Oh, you're so, oh, wow. Wow, Rob, you're awful. He never, ever does that. God is sitting there again saying, my child, I love you. Come learn from me again. Come, I'm always ready, God says. I love you. Come spend time with me. Come learn from me. Come be blessed by me. 4 chapters, 1 chapter, whatever. Get a plan. And if you don't do it, who cares, man? Pick yourself up and get back in the game again. The accusation is not coming from God. It's coming from someone else. Get a plan. Do this. Get a place. Get a place. We are creatures of habit. Find a place. Find a time and a place where you will meet with your God as often as you can on a regular basis. I've said this before. I got to keep saying it. New people to our church, reminded where we are. My place is this little couch. Often there's an ottoman in front of me, coffee beside me. There I am, Bible open. Take like several minutes just to try to kind of wake up and find my place in this world. But when I'm there, and the earlier the better for me, sometimes it's 6:30, sometimes it's 5:07. It just depends, but the earlier often is so much better. I got 4 young kids. But when I'm there, time flies by. I pray through the word. Get a plan, get a place, get a pen. Get a pen. Somebody's like, well, I don't like to write things down. I mean, write anything down. If you discipline yourself, I got a journal. Get your journal open. What are you observing about the text you're reading? What's it saying about God? What's it saying to you? What's it saying for you to do? Three simple questions that you can have right there. Ask yourself, what does it say about God? What's it saying about me? What's it saying for me to do? It's amazing what the Holy Spirit will do. You know, you have to work hard at this. God doesn't just, you know, just as you're sleeping, all of a sudden you wake up knowing more about God's word. He requires us to seek him. Get a plan, get a place, get a pen. Finally, this, get a prayer. Get a prayer. What I mean is, ask God. Pastoral transparency right now. My prayer this week in the midst of my tough season, Jeremiah 15:16. Your words were found, and I ate them. And they became a joy to me and the delight of my heart, for I am called by your name. That has meant so much to me this past 4 days. Your words were found, and I ate them. They became a joy to me and the delight of my heart because I am called by your name. You see, loved ones, I'm not always fired up about the word of God to feed on it the way my feeling. At the time, I'm doing it because I believe by faith I have to. But God will not let you go too long. And if you call to him and your prayer is, God, make me hunger for the things of you. That is his will. And God loves to answer broken prayers according to his will. And I believe he will. Get a plan and a place, get a pen and get a prayer, and you watch what happens. Hey, this can't be a 3-day event. This is a lifetime event. One of the best things I ever heard in a message was, what good do you do after 9 o'clock and beyond at night? What do you accomplish after 9 o'clock? What a great question. What do you accomplish? You can ask yourself. For most people, it's nothing. You sit around and you waste time. Go to bed earlier. Wake up earlier. Go to bed earlier and wake up earlier. Some of you are night people. Maximize it then when you're sitting around waking up when no one else is awake. The opportunity is there, and the opportunity for transformation is before us. Here's what you have to see. You have to see your Bible not as an obligation, but as an opportunity for transformation. You can't see it as an obligation, something that, oh, I have to do it. You have to see it as an opportunity for transformation. You have to. You have to. You see what happens here? Any church, ministry, or person that closes their Bible is closing the opportunity for transformation that the Holy Spirit seeks to do within their lives. That's amazing to me. And how many ministries, how many churches, how many people are subtly closing their Bibles in life? And the moment you close the Bible, you are closing the opportunity for the renewal of your mind, therefore transformation, and your heart being healthy, following the Son of God, becoming like him. You see how simple it is? See how important it is? I beg you, you are not seeing this as a habit or a chore, but you are seeing this as an opportunity of love for your God. The renewing of my mind, it transforms me, and now this, it does this. Through it, I discern the will of God. The renewing of my mind is so massive because in it, I discern the will of God. Again, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. See what we're learning here? The renewing of the mind leads to discernment in God. And discernment, loved ones, leads to the will of God. Did you hear that? I mean, you got to hear that. You got to get that. The renewing of your mind leads to discernment, and discernment leads to the will of God. It's amazing how few Christians seem to really get this, because if you get it, you do something about it. Have you discerned how critical discernment is in our day? We need discernment so bad in our day right now. How many mixed messages, apparent confusion, so much false teaching, so much wisdom is needed. There are so many packages that look nice on the outside, but when you open it up and you actually know the contents, it's filled with filth or something that's disgusting. And it grieves my heart that so many professing Christians are misled. Why are they misled? Because they don't have discernment. And why don't they have discernment? Because they don't know the word of God. And if you don't know the word of God, you have no filter. And that's why you'll pick up a book And it's totally leading people away from the Bible teaches, but they don't know that it is. And so they're like, wow, this is the greatest thing ever written beyond the Bible. No, it's not. It's false. It's wrong. And it's killing your heart in Christ. Discernment so desperately needed. Keep a finger on Romans 12 and just turn quickly to Ephesians chapter 4. Keep a finger on Romans 12 because we're coming right back. Ephesians chapter 4. One example of what I'm talking about. Ephesians 4 verse 11. Way to turn those Bibles. Ephesians 4 verse 11. Quickly here he says, Paul wrote this too, and he gave the apostles, God gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. What do all those people do? They're surrounded by the word of God. They teach, they deliver, they are used in the truth of God, to speak of the truth of God, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. The fundamental way I believe that the saints are equipped is by the word of God. When you're equipped with the word of God, you serve in the church, you serve Christ. It's the word of God that spurs people on to use their gifts for him. Verse 13, until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Notice this, to mature manhood, the goal is maturity, maturity in Christ, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What a verse. So equip the saints with the word of God, equip them with truth, that they might mature, that they might grow into the fullness of Christ, they might be strong. Why? Verse 14, so that, here's the reason for this, so that we may no longer be children, you see? Grow up, it's saying. Grow in the word of God, be equipped with the word of God to serve Christ, but to grow up. No longer being children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning. You see, look right here. Some Christians, man, they hear one thing, oh, that sounds good. And they hear, oh, I'm over here, that sounds good. And every wave that comes across, like, oh, that's so great over here. And oh, God, just stop a second, man. Get your sails up, get your truth, and let the Holy Spirit guide you as opposed to being taught all over the place as to what the latest thing seems to be. That drives me crazy. It's a waste of time. The Bible predicts it right here, tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Verse 15, rather speaking the truth in love. The what? The truth. What's the truth? It's the word of God. We are to grow up in every way, grow up into him who is the head, into Christ. Back to Romans 12. See what this is telling us here. What this is telling us in verse 2, it's telling us that the greatest way we know God's will is to know God's word. Case closed. You got that? The single greatest way you know God's will is to know God's word. Case closed. But please understand, God's will, so often we think it's not just about jobs or marriage or schooling or direction. That's part of God's will, but it's not entirely God's will. We got to get our mind thinking biblically with God's will. God's will, verse 2, is what is good, acceptable, and perfect. So what does that mean? God's will is God's way, but it's more. God's will is what God desires. It's what God loves. It's what pleases him. It's what blesses him. So in this sense, to discern the will of God is so much more than our direction. It's really about what does God love? That's the will of God. What is good and acceptable and perfect to him? And always remember, God's will is not about our happiness. God's will is about his glory. But here's the thing. When you're in his glory, you have never been in a more fulfilling place ever, or never more blessed when you're surrounded by his glory and you're looking. You will never, ever stare at the face of Jesus Christ and be upset or disappointed or left unfulfilled. Ever. That will never happen. The moment you look in the face of Jesus Christ, you are like, yes, yes, you are awesome. You become nothing. He becomes everything. The most satisfying place in this universe for us is right there. God's will, loved ones, is not about your happiness. God's will is about his glory. See, even maturity gets this. maturity in Christ believes and understands, because my life stinks right now, according to what I see, just because life is so hard right now, as I see it, just because I'm going through so much pain right now, as I feel it, does not mean necessarily I'm not exactly and precisely in the will of God. And the moment you can take that painful, grief-filled, frustrating-filled situation and all of a sudden step back and say, wait a second, maybe I'm not outside God's will, is the moment you just reached a level of Christian maturity that will blow your mind. Because we receive the exact opposite message all the time through everything we see in our world. If you're not happy, man, God's not blessing you. Incorrect. See, this is why the renewing of the mind is everything. The renewing of the mind causes you to think like God. And if you think like God, you are more inclined to walk with God. And if you walk with God, you are blessed by God. This is the incredible power of being filled with despair, but then you discern and it actually ends in delight, even though you started with the feelings of despair. Here's an example. You feel totally beat up. You're totally down. You're run down. You're tired. You're frustrated, but you're doing your best and you're trying to serve the Lord. You approach the Lord. You don't have hope. You're filled with tears. You've lost your direction, but then you're confronted with the Word of God. What happens? Let's do a little exercise here. I'm putting some verses up on the screen for you. Here's the first one, Matthew 5, verse 10, okay? You're totally beat up. You're frustrated. Here's the Word of God. It confronts your mind. It says this, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Leave that up for a second. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So you're in a situation and you have family. Family is coming against you because of your faith. You have people who are treating you differently because you do stand out. They don't like what you say or what you think. Coworkers who sometimes say, "Man, that guy's a loser over there. He's like a Bible thumper." And all of a sudden you're down and you're beat up and you're sitting there and you're all discouraged. You read the Bible and God flips it around and says, "Hold on a second, you're blessed. You are blessed if you are persecuted for the sake of righteousness in Christ. And in fact, yours is the kingdom of heaven." So let me ask you, do you go from being discouraged or all of a sudden you become encouraged? Because if you're there and everyone likes you in this world and you're trying to shine for Christ and everyone likes you, the Bible says that's a problem. But the Bible says if people don't like you because of Christ, that's actually a good thing. That's actually a blessing. Here's the next verse. Acts 14:22. This is Paul. He went around strengthening the souls of the disciples and encouraging them to continue in the faith. Okay, time out. Okay, I got really encouraged by that. Apparently, the early church needed to be strengthened in their souls. They needed to be exhorted to continue in the faith. What does that tell us? That tells us they were tempted to give up. That tells us they had hard days too. That tells us there were times they didn't know what was happening exactly. And it says, and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Hear that? Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. So, no tribulations in your life? Problem. In fact, it says many tribulations should come upon your life if you are in the will of God. See what just happened? All the tribulations we are afraid of, we try to run from, that we despise, we're actually maybe despising God's very will for our lives in that moment. The tribulations of God in His sovereignty could be our greatest blessings, yet we are trying to save ourselves from them all the time. I want to be happy, healthy, and fully secure. Oh, really? That might be totally apart from God's will for your life. James 1. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. I'm sorry. I thought you said, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. Notice, enduring in the trial. Remaining steadfast through the trial. Within the trial, not apart from the trial, not rescued from the trial. Blessed is the man or woman. Blessed. When you remain steadfast in the trial. See, my life in the last 7 weeks, God, get me out. God says, I keep you in, Robbie. I keep you in because I love you. And I keep you in because I'm going to grow you. and I'm going to change you. I'm going to humble you. I'm going to bear fruit through you by keeping you under the trial. But God, I want out, but I want you in. Because I know when you don't, and it's taken me 7 weeks in some way again to look up and say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. It's the power of renewing your mind. And what? When he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Hebrews 6. Look at this one. We're just renewing our minds right now, loved ones. Just renewing our minds. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name and serving the saints as you still do. Are you serving the Lord? Are you doing your best in Christ? Are you seeking to be a strong mom at home and faithful and faithful to your husband? Are you there trying to serve the Lord in different capacities and you don't think anyone's seeing you? Listen, God sees you. God's seeing everything that's going on in your life for him. And he's not so unjust to overlook the service that you have to the saints. Do you need commendation from other people? Or is it good enough that God himself has seen what you do? And notice it says, and we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end. So much of the Bible is saying, don't give up. Keep going. Hold on to the faith. Believe it. It's hard, I know. It's hard, I know. You're struggling, I know. It's a battle. You're frustrated. There's despair. There's grief. There's tears. But don't give up. Don't give up. Keep going because you're in the will of God in the midst of your pain. You're in the will of God in the midst of your trial. You're in the will of God in the midst of the hope you don't feel. I love it. It says here, it says, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. What did we do just there? We renewed our minds. And we took the concept of struggle, suffering, trial, and heartache. And we flipped it according to God's will and God's way. And according to the Bible, trial, heartache, pain, tears, grief can actually be the precise place that God has for us and actually call us blessed. But you have to see it by faith to believe it in your heart. This is one example of 1,000 themes of how the mind is renewed to strengthen the heart according to the word of God. This is what God wants to do within us. Are you getting it? What hope is there for a healthy heart apart from a renewed mind? There isn't. You cannot have a healthy heart apart from a daily renewed mind. Here it is. What you fill your mind with is what will form your thoughts, is what will forge your behavior. And finally, that's where you'll find your fruit.
Hey, this is Robbie Simons. I'm excited to let you know about a new book that I've written on Christmas and Advent, and specifically 25 Advent readings on the glory of the Incarnation. It's called God With Us. I would love for you to have it. I've always had a passion for Christmas time and the doctrine of the Incarnation. It is astounding, and I want you to be as excited about it as I am as well. You can find this book called God With Us at Amazon.ca, a tremendous resource, I pray, for your passion growing at Christmas time, and a great resource to give to friends and unbelievers as to why Christmas is so special, so true, and so beautiful. Again, Amazon.ca. I hope you get a copy, and I hope you're encouraged by it right now. Merry Christmas to all of you.
Thanks for listening to us today. Join us again tomorrow on Live in the Light.